Okay, so today's daf is Shabbos, daf Kuf Mem Tes. We will begin with Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis at the Mishnah. And there the Mishnah says, it's talking about different things related to the Suda of Shabbos. And the Mishnah says, Mona Adames Orchav, a person can count his guests that he's inviting for Shabbos, so he knows how many loaves of bread to put in front of them. And v'es par pirosav, and also the different, I guess, treats or to put in front of them, or the snacks, whatever, not the bread, the other foods. Mipiv balpeh, like in other words, not writing. Of a lo min haksav, you can say orally how many people are coming, count, but not from a list that you are writing, at least according to the Mishnah here. So then why? It seems so that because the Mishnah is going to explain, I think the Gemara is going to explain why this is so, but I think it's like an issue that maybe you're going to write it down. The Gemara is going to explain why.
But the point is, you might have too many guests. You might erase a name.
You might erase a name, right? Okay. So the Mephis Adam im Banavim Bnei Beso al Shulchan Uvachal Yiskavin Lasos Mana Gadola Kenegim Mana Katana. You can also make a lottery with your kids and your family, who gets what portion, as long as you don't intend to get who's going to get the bigger portion. Basically, that you shouldn't try to have a bigger portion against a smaller portion. You should try that to ensure that all the portions are equal. And again, the Gemara is going to explain the reason.
Where are you? Where the
last line in Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis. Umatilin chaloshim al kachim biyom tov, and you can make lotteries by kachim that was shafted on yom tov in order to divide the meat. Aval lo al hamanos, but not on portions of kachim that were shafted on erev yom tov, because that you should have done it on erev yom tov. So the Gemara is now going to explain my time. What's the reason to read from writing the list of people and the meals, the parpraos, the snacks? So Rav Bibi Amar Gzera Shema Yimchok. So that's what David said. So it's a Gzera that you might erase a name if you realize you have too many people. And Amar Abaye says Gzera Shema Yikra Bishitre Hedyotos. That once you read this document, you might read other documents that have business documents. You might read business documents on Shabbos. My Benaihu, what's the difference, the halacha, between these two reasons? So the Gemara said, Ika Benaihu, the kasa of a kosel. So say you write it on the wall. Umidle, and now it's like I'm very high up. So Lamanda, Amar Shema Yimchok, Lo Chayshinan. Let's say if it's a concern that you're going to erase, if that's the reason why you can't read from a list, so we're not concerned about that, right? Because it's too high up. The man, the Amar Shema Yikra, according to opinion, says that you might read, so Chashinan. So then maybe we are concerned about that. The Gemara is going to ask on that. The Gemara says, the man, the Amar Shema Yimchok, Nechu Shema Yikra, according to opinion, that says you might erase. Why aren't we also concerned that you might read the Shtari Hedyotos? That's also a concern. V'tu l'shema yimchok lo chayshinan. What do you mean? What is that true that we're not concerned that you're going to erase something if it's very high up on the wall? V'atzinan lo yikra lo haner. Chazal did not allow you to read something by the light of the candle, because maybe you're going to turn the candle a little bit so that the oil gets closer to the wick and so the light's better. And even if the lamp is two like levels of a person, two sizes of a person high, I guess two different ox goads, no matter how high if it's 10 houses, like 10 houses high, you're not allowed to, we're still concerned about these things. They don't make a gzeira whether something is low or something is high. So, right. So the, one second. So, Elika Benayhu, the kasa vakosel umitate. So we're the difference between them is if you write on the wall and it's in a low place. Leman da amar shemayim chol chayshinan. According to one who says that you might erase, we're concerned. Leman da amar shemayikra lo chayshinan. We're not concerned. You're going to read shtari hedyotos, just business documents. Why? Guda bishtar lo michlef. You're not. No one's going to think that if you could read on a wall that you're not going to read with a document. The Gemara says, ask on that. Leman da amar shemayikra lechol shemayim chol. The one who's concerned about that you might read, shouldn't he also be concerned that you might erase as well? You know, isn't that also a concern? Elika Benayhu, the Chayik Atavla. So the difference is where it's engraved with a knife on a wooden board, Vapinkas. Or I guess another type of tablet that merchants used. It's engraved in a tablet. According to the opinion that says that he might erase it, we're not concerned because you engraved it, so you're not gonna do all that effort to get rid of that engraving. According to the opinion that says that we're concerned, you might read, so then we are concerned. According to the person who says that you might erase, fine, there's no question you might erase, but why is he not concerned that you might read Shtari Hedyotos? And the Gemara says, Tavla Upinkas Bishtar Lo Michlef. Maybe he's gonna say, yeah, tablets you can read from, but not documents. But Tanya Mona Adam Kama Mibifnim Kama Mivachut, a person can count his guests, how many inside, how many outside, and how many portions he's going to need to place in front of them. You can read from writing on a wall, but not on a tablet. So heche dami. So the Nag Gemara is trying to understand this brisa before it gets to its question. If you're going to say that the number of the guests or the portions are written in ink. Maishna hacha u maishna hacha. What's the difference if it's written in ink on a wall versus on a tablet? Elav dechayik. So it must be that it's engraved. V'katani, v'ktav shalvei kotel aval lo mikhtav shalvei tavlo pinkas. So we see that the way we're explaining this brisa, that if it's engraved on a wall, then it's not a problem. We're not concerned that you're going to read Shtari Hedyotos, like, you know, business documents. But when if it's on a tablet, then we are concerned. So how can you make that distinction between a tablet and a... How can you say we're not concerned about reading Shtari Hedyotos if we allowed you to read on a tablet? Elo olam dekasav akosel midli. So really, let's go back to the beginning of the distinction he's making. That the case is where you wrote the number of guests on the wall, on a high area. With a kakasha loch the rabba. You asked the question from the opinion of Rabba, who said that whenever they make a decree about, you know, like you can't read to the light of a candle, it doesn't make difference how high up it is. The rabba tanaihi, this is actually the machlokas tanaim, do we make like a low plug? Do we say that once we say we're concerned you're going to move the wick, or we're concerned you're going to write, you're going to erase, that we don't care how high or low the writing is or the lamp is, or do we say no, that there is a difference? They're only going to make a gzeira shemayim chok if there's a real concern that you're going to erase it. How do we see this? The Tanya could learn a brisa mona odemes orchaves parpro sub bepiv avelo minaktav. A person counts his guests and the snacks, the food, from his mouth and not from the writing, from our Mishnah. Rabbi Acha Machi Michtav Shal Gabi Akotel. It's not our Mishnah. It's a brisa that's similar to our Mishnah. Because we have Rabbi Acha who allows you to count the guests or the food from writing that's on a wall. Hechidami, what's the case? Ilema, Mitata, for that it's written, the writings on the bottom, you should be concerned you're going to erase it. Alav, the Katav Umidle, that it's written on a high place. It's actually a machlokas Tanaim, whether the rabbis made a distinction between, once they say something's forbidden because you might erase it, whether they make a distinction if it's high up or not. Shma Mina, so this actually is a good proof. This actually is a good proof. So the hold on a second. Right, I'm wondering how we hold Lamaisa. It seems here that this is actually like a real halacha Lamaisa. Maybe we'll look into it. Right, I'm just thinking about whether typing, if it's a type document, whether that's any different, because we typically don't erase from it. Now I'll look into that maybe this afternoon. Okay, the Gemara says, v'hatanayim, the Tanaim who argue on the lach of Rabba, kahanei Tanaim. And they are like the following Tanaim. The Tanya in Roin v'mara b'Shabbos says that you're not allowed to look at a mirror on Shabbos, because if you look at a mirror, you might see that you have some, you might see some uneven hairs. And then you might cut them off. Rabbi Meir Matir b'mara kavu b'kosel. Rabbi Meir allows you to look at a mirror that is fixed in a wall. And the Gemara wants to clarify. Ma'ishna kavu b'kosel dat hachi b'hachi midkar shenikvu nami ad hachi b'hachi midkar. What's the difference? In both cases, whether it's... Oh, I'm sorry. So in both cases, you know, by the time you get a razor or a shaver or scissors, you're going to realize that it's Shabbos, so you're not going to do anything. So what's the difference if it's engraved in the wall or not? So the Gemara answers that really, hacha b'mar shamatech l'skida, we're talking about a mirror made of metal. Did I skip something?
A few words, yeah.
Hacha b'mar Oh, I thought I said it. Okay. Shedekavu anami ad hachadachai mitkar. So whether it's a fixed, whether the mirror is fixed in the wall or not, you're going to remember that it's Shabbos. So you can't make it say, oh, if it's fixed in the wall, so then you're going to, then we're not concerned. You're going to take a scissors. Also, we should say that there's no concern. Whatever concern we have, there should be no difference whether it's fixed in the wall or not. So the Gemara says, hachamar shematechatskid. We're talking about a mirror made of metal. Why is a mirror of metal forbidden on Shabbos? Person will cut the strands of hair that's sort of detached a little bit, but not completely detached, and they're uneven, and that's the melacha of kotzer and gozes.
He's going to use the mirror itself, says
Rashi. Right. To use it to cut it, right.
The mirror is sharp. Use the metal.
The metal part of the mirror. So the Tanakama, so if it's fixed in the wall, we're not concerned that you're going to use the mirror. If it's not fixed in the wall, then we are concerned you're going to use the mirror. Tana Rabbana, and our rabbis teach, so let's say you have pictures of different animals that are, you have a picture in the wall, and the tachas had the yolk naos, figures of people that are drawn on the wall. Also, the cross of Shabbos. You shouldn't read it on Shabbos because, again, you might read business documents. Udayukna atzma, and the image itself, apachol asalistakabo, you're not going to look at it. Mishum shenamar, because the pasuk says, al tifnu el ha elilim, you shouldn't look at elilim, my talmuda. So what do you learn from this? How do you learn from this? Amar Rav Chanin, al tifnu el midatchem. So elilim, we're changing it to the word chalalim, and your heart's called a chalal. Don't turn to look at your handiwork that came from your hearts, and your, you know, because that'll turn you away from Hashem. I know this.
You can't look at a painting. You can't look at any kind of.
Right. Painting. That's what it. I know that this is used. I know that this is used as a source for one of the reasons why we don't go to, let's say, churches to look at. It might only be Avodah Zarah. That's what I'm wondering. If this, I mean, it doesn't seem like that. But I know that this is used, this pasuk is used regarding looking at Avodah Zarah, like even just for art, even just for the beauty of it. Like, you know, like there are two different issues. There's like Maris Ayin, going to a church, and the second is looking to the artwork. So when people say, like, you know, let me just go to the Sistine Chapel because it's, you know, I'm not doing it to worship it. There's no, everyone knows that they hardly pray in it, but they do it to, you know, mostly so people look at it. So that might be more of a problem because it's, you're looking at this, that you're looking at this, you're looking at this beautiful piece of Avodah Zarah, and you're admiring it, and you say, oh, this is so beautiful. So some say that it might even be worse than just stop going into a church if you're doing just for the artwork, because it's based on this pasuk, Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim. Yeah, Ramosha Feinstein, at least Ramosha Feinstein, you can argue on this point. Ramosha Feinstein says that any type of artwork to enhance, you know, the Avodah Zarah, the, you know, the church is included in that. You can disagree with that point, but he made the point that it's anything that you're doing to enhance, like, you know, like Zakeli Vandehu for the Christians, you know, to beautify it would be under that category. That's our motion.
Yeah, Tosafot here says that it's only the shame of Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
Avol Noi Mutar.
Right, but that's noi, not having, right, Ramosha's tshuva is noi for Avodah Zarah.
Oh, I
see. Saying, that's right, just stam of nice painting, that's not, but this is for noi of Avodah Zarah, so Ramosha thinks it's an issue. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Mapis Adam im Banav, so you can make this kind of lottery with your family, about who gets what portion. So the Gemara wants to say, why can't you make, what's the issue of making a lottery in general? So he says, in banav im bnei beis ha'in, yeah, with your family, if it's fine, v'imachir lo, but not with other people. My time up, Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel, like Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel, Dabar Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel, bnei chabura, makpidin zeh im zeh, zeh al zeh. People in a chabura who are makpid, or are particular to, you know, lend out, and they have to be exact when they separate things, when they divide things up, it's to be an exact amount. Over mishum mido mishum mishkal mishum minyan. So it's close to, they're probably going to violate, when they divide things up on Shabbos, they're probably going to violate prohibitions, because when they calculate how many fruit each person gets through measuring, through weighing it, through calculating it, so they're going to violate these prohibitions on Shabbos. And also, Mishum Lovim Parim B'Yom Tov, that they also can't lend on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because you might write. And you can't say in the Lashon of Piraon, you can't have that Lashon of Piraon, because you might write. They only allow, we saw on Shabbos in yesterday's daf, in a Lashon of She'ela, can I borrow, not Lashon of loving and, por, you know, Halva, or Priya. And if they're just a group of people, they're makpid on, you know, they want to make sure they get back their money and they don't get cheated out, they're going to use these languages. So therefore, we don't want to say, okay, let's take a portion here and let's divide things up equally, unless members of your house are not going to be so particular. So the Uchdivre Hillel, and this is like the opinion of Hillel. Hillel says, you're not allowed to lend bread in order to return the bread. So this is also, we saw this, I think it was also Shabbos Adaf, that you can't lend bread to someone and just say, pay me back, you know, with the same bread, pay back with a loaf of bread later, because then, let's say the price of wheat goes up, so then there could be like a apmishum ribis. It could be a ribis issue. So because they're makpid, even not in a little thing, they're going to want you to pay back. Let's say bread was a dollar. Now it's worth $1.20. They're going to want to give you back $1.20 worth of bread, because that's how much the loaf is worth now, and that would be a potential issue of ribis. People, if you're family members, we're not so concerned about. Ihachi, but now we're going to ask. Banu b'nei beis unami. Maybe also they're also makbid. Banu b'nei beis on a time up. Kidav Yehuda of Arav. The Rav Yehuda of Arav mutar lahavos the banu b'nei beis to paribis kli latim on tam ribis. Says you're allowed to lend your family with ribis, so they will know how difficult the concept of ribis is. His point is that since really everything belongs to him, there's no real prohibition of ribis. And it's just giving to a lot of different people. So there's no real concern because everything really belongs to the Baal Habayis. But we're just concerned that, it might lead to that. We're saying just it might lead to that. And therefore, the same thing, that since really everything belongs to the Baal Habayis, and he's just giving out to members of his household, they're not so makbid, they're not so particular about getting the exact amount. And the same thing with the lottery, the purpose of making a lottery, what everyone gets, is not because everyone cares about every little piece, every little amount, it's just so there won't be any jealousy. So they just said, okay, you guys get this, you guys get this, but people aren't so particular. Yihachi, monagdol, kneg monagtana nami. So also maybe, why can't you give some people, a large portion of other people, a small portion. Yihachinami, you can do it with the members of your household. V'chasur mechsav hachi katani. And really you have to read the Mishnah like this. Mapis adam im banavim bnei beis al shulchan afila monagdol, kneg monagtana. You can actually give some people a big portion, a small portion. My time, I could have Yehuda Marav, like the reason we said above. In Baravim Beso, Iinim Achem Lo, my time, kid Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel. The reason why you can't do it with other people, because they're going to measure, and they're going to be makpid, and they're going to violate different prohibitions. Gemara says, Monagdo Kedeg Monagtana Af Bachol Lacheri Maser. Says, you can't even do, when you split up amongst people, you can't even give a larger portion and a smaller portion of the lottery with even during the week. My time, and what's the reason? Mishum Kubya. Because this is sort of like an asmachta. You have a bunch of people and they'd say, let's divide this up. Right? Let's say they got, I don't know, someone gave them a large piece of meat as payment. So five people. We're gonna split amongst each other. And some people have a big piece, some people have a small piece, and we'll raffle it off, who gets whatever piece. Everyone thinks they're going to get the big piece. So that's what's called an asmachta, and so that's like stealing. In other words, if I end up with a smaller piece and you get the bigger piece, it's like you're stealing from me. Because I believe that even though we're having the lottery, that I'm going to end up getting the big piece. So this is gezel midrabbanan. This is rabbinic form of stealing. So you can't do that. Matilin chaloshim. Al, so now we're saying about you can make a lottery for kachim on Yom Tov, but not on different portions that were given out in Erev Yom Tov. My avalo haman, also it's been not on portions. Rabbi Yaakov, brah de bas Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov, who is the son of the daughter of Yaakov, avalo al hamano shalchol b'yom tov. You can't make a lottery on pieces that were apportioned on Erev, they were giving out the kachim from Erev Yom Tov, on Yom Tov. Cheetah's obvious. Ma'arate mahol v'chsiv v'amchal kimri v'kohen. The Navi rebukes Klai Yisrael because they fight like Kohanim. So it seems that we see from here the Kohanim fight. And therefore, afilu manos t'chol nami. Maybe you should even allow them to make lottery on Yom Tov so they won't fight with each other. Kamash Malan comes to teach us that no, you can't do that to even if it's to stop potential fighting. Amar Rav Yaakov, Baradras Devas Yaakov. So Rav Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov, says, Kol shecha veiro nena shal yoto. Ein machnisi moso b'mchitzaso shal kash barcho. So this is another statement by him, nothing to do with what we're doing, what we're learning until now. And he says that anyone who, someone that he asked for Hashem, that he should punish someone what they did, or you should curse him on this, he doesn't enter into the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it's not good for you to daven that someone should be punished on what someone did to you, or even to curse someone out. Even though you might be justified, it's still not a great thing to do. So we're going to see why. Menalan, what's the source for this? It's because it's written, so here we're talking about what happened here. We're saying that Achav, it was decreed that he would die in battle with against Aram on Ramot Gilad, and there are 400 prophets who prophesied that he would succeed. And then Ami Micha said, Hashem said, you know, who's going to seduce Achav, and he will fight by Ramot Gilad. So this one said different angels were saying, I'll convince him this way. And so the spirit came and said, I will convince him. And Vayomer Aitse Vaisi Ruch Shekhar Bafi called Nivia, Vayomer Tefate Vigam Tuchal Tseva Sekeit. So apparently, he's going to say, I'm going to have all the prophets prophesy falsely that he will succeed. So with these words, we see that. So we see here that what? That Micha had this prophecy that he would succeed, even though the truth wasn't like that.
Micha tells him that all the other Nevi'im were lying.
Right. So, right.
The other ones told him that he could go, it wouldn't be a problem. But he just said that they're lying to you. That's not the truth. And supposedly the Malachim were arguing on the merits of Achav, whether he should be drawn to that battle or not, that he had many mitzvahs and that he shouldn't be killed.
Right, but it says, right, but so here, right, so in other words, all the Nevi'im, they prophesied falsely that he would succeed, and
but he killed if he went to battle.
I'm sorry?
They told him that if he went to battle, he would be successful. They told him what he wanted to hear.
Right, and Micha was...
Micha said it's not true.
It's not true, right. It's interesting because I would have thought from the pshat of the Navi that like they were just saying to him what he wanted to hear, as opposed to there was actually the spirit that wanted to trip him up.
The spirits were arguing. In other words, like some of them, this thing about Kobo thing was that some said, "But yeah, but he had good merits, you know, because there's certain things that he did that were very good."
Right.
No, that he did. So that was an argument whether they should deceive him or not. So that he would be killed.
Right, I'm just saying that the pshat seems to be like, Micha's a good guy. So it seems that like, you would read the Navi and the simple reading is like, so why didn't why wasn't Micha tripped up?
No, Micha wasn't tripped up. Micha was the only one that told the truth.
I'm saying, but why wasn't he tripped up? If they had this, if there was these malachim that said we're going to trip up everyone, why didn't they trip up Micha? That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
I mean, Micha is eventually expelled, and that's Gemara's proof here for what Rabbi Yochanan said, for what Yaakov said.
Right.
Micha was like thrown out.
Right, but I'm just wondering if the ruach was able to influence everyone, why did it not influence Micha? That's what I'm wondering. But anyway, Vyamrina and the Gemara. What?
I'm sorry, I'm confused. What is the Gemara? What's this proof telling us?
So we don't know yet. All we're saying so far is that you have this bad spirit that's convincing all these Nevi'im to tell Achav he's going to win at war. And the Gemara is going to say, V'yamrina, on my ruach, who is this spirit? This is the spirit of Nabos Yisraeli, that because, right, because Achav basically, you know, caused him to be killed so he can get his vineyard. Who might say, and then why is the pasuk say afterwards, tsei va'asei kein? So Amarav, he says, tsei m'chitzasi. So he tells the spirit to go out from my mechitza v'kadosh baruch hu. So the Navos sort of put this bad spirit in all the Nevi'im that caused Achav to die, and nevertheless, the spirit of Navos had to leave the mechitza of the, you know, the...
I'm sorry, I said before Micha.
Right, they had to leave the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. could be that Micha was so great that somehow these bad spirits did not influence Micha. You know, you have to say that for some reason. But anyway, Vidilma, Hasam Hainu time.
If he was telling the truth, then maybe he was protected from that end.
I'm saying like this. No, we're saying that the spirit of Navos left the Machitza of Hashem. That's the point of this right, story here. Right. I'm just saying that why was the spirit able to convince all the other Nevi'im and not convince Micha? That's what I'm wondering.
Just told him what he wanted to hear.
No, exactly. So that's my point, Herbie. So what's the purpose of the spirit then? In other words, had I not read this Gemara, I would have said that basically all the other Nevi'im without any spirit, like exactly what you said, they always would tell Achav what he wanted to hear, and Micha told him the truth. But now the Gemara is saying that there is a spirit. So maybe the spirit only worked with those who typically only told him falsehood. Maybe. I don't know.
Pushed Achav to go to the battle at the end.
Uh-huh.
You know, he may have wanted to believe Micha, knowing that Micha was a real loving.
No, but it says in the Gemara they put the spirit in all the prophets. Okay, in any case. Vidilma Hasam Hainu Taima. So maybe there's another reason why Navos was pushed from the Mechitza of Hashem. Dichsiv Dover Shkarm Lo Yikom. Anyone who lies can't be in front of Hashem. Okay, so they reject that proof. Ella behachos. Well, let's have a different proof. So the pasuk says, by the Nebuchadnezzar, so he would force the kings to engage in homosexuality, and they would have lottery when each person's day was. When the day of Tzidkiyahu came, so they caused the foreskin of Nebuchadnezzar to grow a lot. So because of this shame, the Navi said, Savata kolom yikvod shtei gamata veheorel. So somehow, Savata kolom yikvod zed Nebuchadnezzar. So he was disgraced more than the honor he received. And shtei gamata veheorel. You should drink also the cup of shame. And zed tzidkiyahu, this refers to tzidkiyahu, because he was punished because Nebuchadnezzar was punished through him. Because Tzidkiyahu, caused that, because he didn't want to obviously be with Nebuchadnezzar, he caused that the orla, the foreskin of Nebuchadnezzar, should grow a lot. So then, apparently also, Tzidkiyahu was also punished. He was also disgraced. So the Gemara says, Chada, dechule krav Nebuchadnezzar ksiv. He said the whole pasuk can be explained that's referring to Nebuchadnezzar, that he was shamed, and nothing to do with Tzidkiyahu. Va'od Tzidkiyah tzadika ma'avala meimadlei. What was he supposed to do to Nebuchadnezzar? He was an anu situation, and since he was an anu situation, it was a forced situation. He shouldn't be punished. The Nebuchadnezzar was punished because of him. Because Rav said that when this Russia wanted to do this to Tzidkiyahu, so then he was punished. So Tzidkiyahu didn't ask for it. So how can you say that? So that's not a proof that if you ask for someone to be punished, then you get punished with that. So Elamei Hacha. So rather, you have a different source. Gam Anosh Litzadik Lo Tov. So he wants to say that Mishlei says that the measure of anisha of punishment to someone who's tzaddik is not a good midah, ein lo tov ela ra, that it's not good, it's bad. Uchsiv kilo kel chafetz rasha atal lo yagur chura. The Gemara explains this pasuk. Now what does it mean? That Hashem doesn't want you. You're a rasha. Why? Tzadik hu Hashem v'lo yagur b'migurecha ra, that you are righteous, and that's the opposite of wickedness, and therefore someone whose friend was punished through him and is called bad, like it says, Lo Yagur Chura, someone, Hashem doesn't want you, wickedness, that you caused bad to someone. Now, Hashem doesn't want someone who caused someone else bad to happen to them. So that's what you did when you asked someone to be cursed. Okay. The Gemara now is going to ask, my mashma dahai chaloshim lishna de purahu. How do we know that the lashon of chaloshim is lashon of goral? The Mishnah said you can't make a chaloshim, that's a goral. Yachsiv eich nafalta mishamayim heilel ben shachar nigdata la'aretz cholish al goyim. The Navi prophesizes the falling of the officer of Babel, from the heavenly officer from Babel. He is like a star up in heaven. And the Navi prophesizes this, and he calls him Cholesh al Goyim. He calls him the star of Nebuchadnezzar of Babel is going to fall from heaven like Cholesh al Goyim. So Rabuna Cholesh, he said that Cholesh is like a goral. Malame Shaya Matil Pur al Gidole Malchus Leda Eze Ben Yomo Shalmishkav Zachor. Because he's called a Cholesh al Goyim because he would draw lots to establish which day would he have relations with every king. So we see from here the Lashon of Cholshim is a Lashon of lottery. Uchsiv, and it's written in the continuation of this pasuk, which deals with the fall of the Nebuchadnezzar, Kol Malchei Goyim Kulam, that all of them, had relations, I guess, or slept at each in their house. So the Gemara explains what does it mean. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shenachom Mishkav Zachor. So I guess until now they were in shame in the house of the wicked person. I guess after they had relations, I guess then they would go back to their house, I think. As long as Nebuchadnezzar lived, there was no rejoicing in the house of in the mouth of any creation. So that we're saying that after his death, the pasuk, this in these psukim which deal with his death. So it says that the earth opened its mouth of joy. Until now, there was no joy. The Gemara continues, you're not allowed to stand in the house of Nebuchadnezzar. Because the demons are there. So when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to, have relations with Tzidkiyahu, so his foreskin grew 300 amos. It continued in front of all the kings that were with him. So he's saying that you're drinking the cup of shame, like you would shame them. And you're gonna be shamed for other people. I guess Vehei Arel, that's extra. So it already mentioned that he is shamed. So here it says Orel Bigmatria Shlosh Meos Have. So it's Orel is 300 in Gematria. From Yehuda Marav, Bishash Sheyarad Oso Rasha Le Gehenim. At the time when the Nebuchadnezzar went to Gehenim, Rasha Kol Yorde Gehenim. So all of those who went to Gehenim were scared. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar is coming to rule over us. They're going to get sick with all this suffering of Gehenim. Shenemar, Gamata Chuleisa Kamonu Elein Nimshalta. So he's saying that maybe it means that maybe, is he coming to get punished like us with the suffering of Gehenim or to rule over us? Yatzasa Baskol V'amra, a heavenly voice came down and said, Mimina Amta Rida V'Hashgava Esarelim. So because from your chashivos, you think that you're going to come down in like Na'amta, like a nice way, more than Egypt and other nations. You're going to see who has more Ne'imus from you. Behold, you're coming down to suffer with them in Gehenna. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. You stop here?
Yep.
Okay. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Okay, have a good day, everyone.
Good.